Dr. Larry Hopper, why would you say Monroe is a good place to be housing a radar like this?
Well, it's actually a good location because even though it's adequately covered by Weather Service radars in Shreveport and Jackson, it's actually, you know, a good 70 to 100 something miles away from those locations. And so by the time a radar beam actually gets to Monroe, and particularly locations to the north and east of Bastrop, it actually becomes an issue of making sure you can sample a storm at a low enough level. And in those locations, especially north and east of Bastrop, it's actually sometimes a beam is a mile and a half or 2 miles up, which makes warning for tornadoes a challenge. And then also it's a good location because we do get a lot of heavy precipitation in the entire state, not just southern Louisiana, but also parts of northern Louisiana. We actually get heavy precipitation events and flooding events at all points of the year, which is very unique for the entire United States of America. I mean, no other location other than maybe Florida really sees that. And so heavy precipitation is an issue at all times. And so it's a great thing to have.
You mentioned that having something closer to the ground is good. Why is that good for forecasting?
Basically, for tornado detection, I mean, you're basically now casting. When I say now casting, I mean you're forecasting on the fly here and now. When they warn for tornado warnings, they're actually looking for what we call a mesocyclone above the surface. That if that's present, they will usually warn a Doppler-indicated tornado warning. But that's why we have storm spotters out there trying to see it. And of course, the closer that beam is to the surface, the more confident they can be that the actual Doppler-indicated tornado might be a real tornado.
Well, let's talk about the timing on this then, because the FEMA and the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness have been interested in something like this for some time. Why now?
Well, I think we've had, you know, several heavy precipitation events in the form of tropical cyclones in the last 10 years. Certainly, there's been some long-track supercellular tornadoes that have developed in East Louisiana, typically have moved into western parts of Mississippi, the most recent case being the Yazoo City case, I think a couple of years ago in 2010. And so, of course, because of these high-end events and also some, you know, we had a flooding event, I guess, during spring break last April that was pretty intense as well on the south side of Monroe. And so here, it's not a matter of if it's going to happen. It's going to happen. You know, emergency management personnel across the state want to make sure that the entire state is prepared for events when they do happen. And this is just another thing they're trying to add in to make sure that Northeast Louisiana is prepared.
What is it about having a radar here that will actually improve emergency preparedness?
Well, I think that with the emergency management personnel in Northeast Louisiana and the Weather Service working together and other state agencies, I think that this will improve lead times, not just tornado warnings, but also flood warnings. I think in many respects, flood warnings are more of an issue here. When you get a rain gauge out there, it's really just measuring at one point. It's not necessarily very representative of points surrounding it, particularly when we get convection. Having a radar that can at least calculate and get a better estimation of what the precipitation is. Not an exact estimation, but close over a large area for your particular location, I think really helps for mitigating those flood hazards.
Dr. Ann Case Hanks, this has also got to be a tremendous boon to the university for preparing the next generation of meteorologists in the atmospheric science program.
Yeah, a radar like this would cross many different courses in our atmospheric science program in which students could actually see what goes into instrumentation and what goes into running a radar. And in fact, this would be very good for our program because this would be one of a few universities, primarily an undergraduate institution, that would have access to a radar of this caliber. It would be very beneficial to our students.
And also from a research perspective, I mean, it's going to be very beneficial because undergraduates will be able to become involved in research if they would like to do that. And we do have some students that choose to go to graduate school after they leave here. And so from that perspective, it'd be good. They can also look at several different types of storm structures that are taught in many different courses. And I think the biggest thing is that it looks like it's going to be a dual pole metric radar, which is important because it can actually send out horizontal waves and vertical waves. And so instead of just getting the reflectivities back from the radar of, you know, how intense are the drops and how, you know, what precipitation totals might come from that, you can also get a sense of their shape by going in the vertical. And so is it hail or is it liquid or, you know, how big is the hail or how big are the drops and what's their concentration? All of that is really, really important from not just an operational perspective, but also a research perspective as well.
So from a student standpoint, what's the difference between looking at data that's generated by other agencies and being able to look at data that would be from a radar right here on site?
One thing that our students really find useful is anything that they can get their hands on and, you know, it's here. So they could actually go out to the site, look at the radar, change the sampling rates, change the powers, and look at the data then and there. And there's also something exciting when you know a severe storm system is coming through. The students get very, very excited about this. They geek out. Knowing that, they would be willing to look at this in real time and know the storm structure. And I think for that purpose alone, that's amazing for our students.
Doing something like this, working with FEMA and the Governor's Office of Homeland Security, a lot of different agencies involved, where is this in the process now and where does it go from here?
Public comment ended for the FEMA report on January 28th, and now it is undergoing some finalization bureaucracy. We would have a better idea of potential for funding sometime in March. And when that happens, we estimate that it'll take about 12 to 18 months before the radar would be up and running. Because there's a lot that goes into a radar. Site surveys have to be conducted. A tower has to be built. Modifications on a building will have to take place. Modifications for existing electrical and gas utilities have to take place in order to run this thing. And then the radar company has to come out and install. So about 12 to 18 months, I would.
Dr. Ann Case Hanks is an assistant professor of atmospheric science here at ULM. Dr. Larry Hopper is an assistant professor of atmospheric science. ULM under strong consideration for a radar array sometime in perhaps the next 12 to 18 months. Thank you both so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.